All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
The push for the playoffs starts now.
Shit.
The push for the playoffs starts now.
This clock must be for the Calgary Flames.
Oh, let's get into it with the lead. That's a good one. Way to work through that.
Unscripted.
That was supposed to work. It didn't. Throw that off to the side. We didn't move out the clock because we showed up to the office 45 minutes ago and we're like, maybe we can do something funny with it. So if you have any ideas for what we could do with this clock, or is it just annoying? Does it just not make sense?
I don't know. It's just a big clock.
It is a big clock.
And to let you all in on a little secret. We might have lost our remote that makes it work.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping any remote would work. It didn't. We were panicking leading up to the show today. But anyways, welcome in a fresh week of the show, streaming live from the Sports Closet Studio. And as always, over on the Oilers Nation YouTube, home to the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. Sergeant Battle is in. Crosby's sad because not only is his team bad, but Dubas shipped out his bestie for not even a guaranteed first, and the guy Dubas thought could replace Zach Hyman, which is a great way to look at it as well. I do like Kyle Dubas sitting there and going out and getting Michael Bunting, agreeing to pay him a $4.5 million cap hit when, back when he was the Leafs GM, he didn't want to give Michael Bunting the $4.5 million cap hit. I thought that was pretty funny. The Oilers complete the season sweep of Sid and the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll break that down. We'll give our deadline winners and losers. Now that we've had a weekend to sleep on it, will the Oilers be in my loser column?
They better not be.
You're going to have to wait until about the middle of the show to find out there, but a full recap of everything that went down this weekend. And it is all brought to you by our friends at Greta Home, or they are the weekend recap, because your weekend, if it was good, probably involved Greta. Arcade games, food. The food is unbelievable. The little truck at the back of the bar. 10 out of 10. Kind of cool. Drink specials as well. Greta truly has it all. Great spot to watch the game. Great spot to go pre and post game as well. So the Oilers close out their road trip, Liam, with an shootout loss. OT shootout loss. Who cares? To the Buffalo Sabres on Saturday. They bounce back with I'll say a solid win on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Penguins. What do you make? 3 or 4 points over a weekend set of back-to-backs. It's hard to complain about it, but when you look at the opportunity they had, missing out on that 1 point in the fashion you did is frustrating.
Yeah, the outside view of it is, oh, the Oilers got 3 or 4 points this weekend. But when you actually watch that game against Buffalo, it's like, they should have won that game. They just allowed Buffalo to get way too involved and hang around for so long. And then
the Oilers' sloppy play allowed Buffalo to stay in that game.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, I don't think they played good enough to win.
The Oilers?
Yeah.
No, I don't either. But they just allowed Buffalo to just stay in the game, and they didn't lock themselves down defensively. And even against Pittsburgh, they weren't exactly great defensively. They allowed 40-plus shots, but Pickard was the man yesterday. So, look, 3 or 4 points. They've lost, what, once in regulation in the last seven, eight, something like that. So it's not all bad.
Yep. Christopher Palmer, 5 points out of 8 is a .625 points percentage. Yeah, but that is also kind of where I'm going to go here. That's lower than their points percentage on the year. Yeah. So again, not all doom and gloom. I'm not trying to say the road trip was a failure. It wasn't. You won a very good game in Boston. Prove that you can, you know, or prove that you are one of the elite teams in the NHL. And I mean, they've kind of done that at different stages throughout the year. But to just lose those back-to-backs, this was a road trip where 7 of 8 was there for the taking once you beat the Boston Bruins. So again, I think if you blindly look at that record, you're happy with it. When you look at it with the context of you beat Boston to kick things off and you ended it with a win in the second of back-to-backs, it's like, yeah, they probably should have gotten 1 or 2 more points on that road trip for it to really be considered a resounding success. So it was average. It was fine. And now they return home this week. They get Washington and Colorado. So again, Washington is an interesting test just because they've been so inconsistent this year, but they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. Colorado is one of the best teams in the league. It's going to be a big, big month for the Edmonton Oilers, a big finish to the month, I should say, for the Edmonton Oilers. But just going back to that win against the Pittsburgh Penguins, I joked on pre-gaming with boards. Yeah, I said, hey, when you look at Calvin Pickard's game logs, Liam, you're probably going to need 4 to win this hockey game. Most nights he gives up 3. I should have added most nights, or when he's just not playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, he gives up 3. He's played them now twice this season. He's faced 64 shots and only given up 1 goal. It's a 41 save shutout. Wink for Calvin Pickard, the Oilers backup, whose save percentage on the year is now up to .919. Like, you can't argue with the numbers at some point.
He's been good. Like, you look through and what was his bad game? Man, I think his worst game of the season was easily that Minnesota game.
Yep.
I think he was terrible. If I
still only gave up 3 goals. When you're backup, then you should have to score 4 sometimes. That's just
the way it is. Oh, and that's totally fair. And that was a weird game as well. The Oilers had 40 plus shots, didn't get it, but he's pretty good for like one huge save a game.
Yeah.
You know, like he was busy man yesterday, despite not given the shutout. He was there right for the taking for him to have. And I think he's the reason the Oilers kind of won that game, if you have to be totally honest. Like, if you allow 1, what are you laughing at?
It's the stat I'm going to give you.
Go on, tell me the stat.
If it's cherry picked, Calvin Pickard's played 14 games this year. If you just look at goalies who have played 14 games or more, where do you think he ranks in save percentage?
3, 5.
He's tied for 5th with Joey Decord. Only Hellebuck, Swayman, Brassois, and Stolarz, former Oiler, have more than that.
You all wanted him gone. Not me.
5th in the league in save percentage when you sort by goalies who have played at least 14 games.
Can I give you another step?
Sure.
Calvin Pickard has played the Pittsburgh Penguins 7 times in his career. And he has a .937 save percentage against him and a 2.17 goals against.
So if Pittsburgh
can play,
if Pittsburgh sneaks into the playoffs, goes all the way to the cup final and the Oilers play them, you go Pickard game 1.
Can I give you another stat?
Yeah.
Because Pittsburgh's not even his favorite opponent. Maybe we should have considered this on Friday when I should have said we should have played Stuart Skinner back-to-backs. Maybe we should have played Calvin Pickard back-to-backs because he has a .954 save percentage in 4 games against the Buffalo Sabres and a .114 goals against.
That's really good.
That is really good.
Yeah. So Pickard was outstanding. And then the Oilers, they hung around in that game with their 2-0 lead for, I will say, a lot longer than I would have liked. That Pittsburgh team is lifeless. They don't have a lot going for them. They turn over the puck. They are sloppy in basically all three zones. I know they put up 40 shots, but like even in the offensive zone, there are a lot of moments where you're like, you guys trying to score? You're just trying to cycle it around here a little bit.
Yeah.
Throw a shot from the outside and call her a day.
There wasn't a lot of a hop in their stab wazoo throughout the 60 minutes. And even when they got power play opportunities, they just got rid of them halfway through. And like, what was his name? Is it John Ludvig?
Yeah.
That was dumb.
You're getting a 4-minute power play to get yourself back in the game.
Instead, you just jump someone who accidentally high-sticked one of your players. Like,
yeah.
Anyone with half a brain would have noticed that was a clear accident.
I mean, let's keep going through the list. Minute to go in your power play if you're Pittsburgh, and Jeff Carter just goes and punches Connor Brown in the face. And I was expecting on the replay to see a moment where like Brown whacked him in the back of the leg or something. It was just like, no, Jeff Carter was just mad that he's old, slow, and turned over the puck.
Yeah.
And then a too many men penalty. Dumb as hell.
I said this on post game yesterday when we talked about it, but like, there's just no middle ground. Like, it's that top guys and nothing else. You know, like maybe Riley Smith, someone like that, but like Rickard Rakell is a shell of himself. He's not the guy he used to be when you loved him dearly.
I loved him as that he was a rental plus one option because he had 2 years at that one deadline. And then I saw what Pittsburgh signed him to after they traded for him. And it was like, ooh, that's not going to age well. Those guys usually don't.
Like Valtteri Puustinen was playing on Malkin's wing yesterday.
Yep.
How do you expect to have success with that? I know we have Ryan McLeod and Warren Fogle on the wings with Draisaitl.
They're scoring.
But they score and they have a ton of success doing it. But, you know, you look through and like that blue line, like they actually have some decent players. Like I like, obviously, Letang and Carlson. Graves is a good NHLer, but his contract is nuts. Like, I really don't see, to not get too far ahead, but like how Pittsburgh is going to get anywhere close to the playoffs over the next like 5 years with or without Crosby. Like they're gonna have to move significant mountains.
Oh yeah, man! Like it is not a fun job for Kyle Dubas to come sweep into. But what's insane about it still is they feel so far away. But when you look at sort of the four pillars that you need to build a Stanley Cup contender, do they have a legit starting goalie?
Yeah, Jari's very good.
Do they have a legit number one D-man?
Yes.
I think the duo of Letang and Carlson.
I was more contemplating which one was which.
Yeah.
But yes.
They have that. And do they have the necessary pieces down the middle? Well, Crosby and Malkin. Yeah. So like the support, and it's very, what year would that have been? 17-18 for the Oilers when the support pieces are just so bad.
Yeah.
That it totally drowns out anything your stars can do. I will add Letang was terrible in that game.
He was really bad.
And he's been bad now in back-to-back games against the Oilers. Evgeny Malkin looks disinterested at best most nights.
I completely agree. And like what you ran through there of like what you need to win the Stanley Cup is correct.
Yeah.
But also you look at the team, it's like, okay, well, who are you moving from? Like, Riley Smith has a modest side, no trade clause. I know he said he would probably move it, but
he doesn't like being in Pittsburgh, apparently.
Nola Char has a modified no trade clause. Brian Rust has a modified no trade clause. Just a no trade clause. Rakell has a modified no trade clause. And you go on the blue line, and Marcus Peterson and Ryan Graves also have no trade clause, no movement clauses, whatever it's called.
Yep.
It's just like, how are you going to shift anything here? Like, obviously, losing the $3 million from Jeff Carter is good. And like, if you can move on from Lars Eller, but like, who's going to want a 35-year-old Lars Eller at 2.5? Like, just, it's a difficult job. And they've put themselves in this hole prior to Dubas, but also with Dubas, the Carlson deal, while you acquire one of the greats of the game, might be one of the worst trades ever.
There were people on Twitter talking about, how do you offload him this summer?
He's their best defenseman. I would like to move Letang or tell Letang maybe, hey, go retire.
This is year one of his extension.
I know.
Why did you give him 6 or 5 years? That's cuckoo.
Legacy contract.
But like, again, if you're, I wanted
That's what
to,
it is, though, right?
I know. I wanted to save this for the winners and losers conversation of the deadline.
Let's get into it.
But there's still Oilers stuff to talk about. Let's take, okay, let's table. We're going to table the Penguins thing. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right.
I want to get back into the Oilers side.
Oh, sorry. Ones. Just one other thing on Pittsburgh. So, because Lurkin Lieutenant brought it up. I don't know if he's saying sarcastically or anything, but like, scratching Paul Yarvey for both games against the Oilers is such a kick in the balls for that guy.
Especially because he's been playing in other games and he just scored the other day.
And it's like, let him play, you know? Like, we have your opinion about Paul Yarvey. Like, he was a good guy to Edmonton and everything. Like, gave back to the community here.
Had that one run for like 2 months where we were like, do you give him an 8-year extension at $6 million? Does he even take that? Like, he had that 2 month stretch where he was unreal.
He was solid. So I wish we could have seen him play, but it's what it is, I guess. At least we get Clem Costin back for one more game this season. San Jose coming like late April.
Yeah, so Clem Costin goes to the San Jose Sharks as a deadline-y kind of cap dump or whatever. If you're the Oilers, you need cheap players to come fill out your bottom six next year. If San Jose can't keep half. God damn it. Mike Greer. What the hell are you thinking, man? You're totally...
I'm shady.
Maybe they'll take...
You know what, though?
CC like, for Costin, who says no. Sharks need D-men.
McDavid.
Why would McDavid say no?
Well, they've been saying that CC wants to stay around. Oh, shit, the player.
We're going to park that, too.
Come on. What do we got? Moment of the game.
Yeah, we got to get into our moment of the game. It is brought to you by Douglas Mattresses. Douglas.ca/OilersNation is where you want to go if you want to start living a little bit like me, and that is living with better sleep. I've been sleeping like a baby on my Douglas mattress for almost 3 months now, and right now, how about this for an offer? Every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. You get two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, Liam. If you're a drooler like me, you need to have the pillow protector.
Sweater. Go on.
One luxurious cotton sheet set, one mattress protector, free with any order. Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company. These mattresses are handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. And again, that free comfort sleep bundle when you head to douglas.ca/OilersNation and order today. Liam, the moment of the game, the doctor coming in. It's 2-0. You're thinking, oh God, deja vu to last night. Or yesterday in the afternoon against Buffalo. It's always such a weird phrasing. 2-0. Pittsburgh's getting power plays. It's like, oh God, if they get a goal here right away, I'm all of a sudden very nervous. You needed that 3-0 insurance marker. The doctor comes through. Darnell Nurse makes it 3-0. Then just for the hell of it, makes it 4-0 as well. Here's a look at the first goal he scored. Just again, Pittsburgh's defensive structure, very, very confusing on this play. But Darnell Nurse, that's kind of the spot he likes to be when he scores. And he's got a sneaky good release there. Like, he's so long that I think it's hard for the goalies to kind of read when he pulls back that puck exactly when in his motion he's going to release it.
Yeah, he's got a bit of deception, hasn't he? He's got a really good offensive game, Darnell Nurse, where you just don't get to see it as much as maybe we would want to, but he is the best skater on that blue line. I don't think there's any denying that, right? He's better than Bouchard. He's got a lot more stride to him. And I love it when we see the, what do they call him? The Dr. 2-5.
Yeah.
Like climb up into the attack there and just become part of it, because I think that's when he's at his best, when he has the puck on his stick in the offensive zone and he's able to get these shots away. And then another really good one from there too. And the celebration from this goal was really weird, like kind of pushing around. But I think Kane was kind of bugging him for not shooting the puck earlier in the game. So it's a good finish. And he almost got the hat trick there too. People were criticizing Connor Brown for passing. It's like, no, I think that's a sign of a good teammate. You know, you don't have a goal all season. You're coming down with 7 seconds left on a 3-on-1 and you pass off to the guy with a hat trick inbound. So I think that was a good play by Brown too. So great game from Nurse yesterday.
Yep. So you're not reading anything and Kane giving him the friendly little jabs there. Were they friendly? Should we speculate?
No, I think it's fine. Look, like
they're having fun. Someone came in after and gave Kane a shove. Like, they're just screwing around. When did that happen? Was it last year or the year before where there was a moment on the Oilers bench where Sam Gagne and someone else were like shoving each other real hard mean mugging each other? It's guys being dudes.
Do you know what? Like, sometimes you're in the heat of the moment and maybe one guy's feeling something else or the other guy isn't, and you're just like shoving around and stuff like that. And it's just like, you're not going to like everyone you work with.
Well, there is that too. If you think they're all friends in that locker room, you are wrong. But yeah, they're just screwing around. There's nothing there, obviously.
If Daryl could have given him a bit of a smile, that would have helped.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Daryl kind of made him look bad there. You could have just smirked at him. Yeah. Final buzzer, no more Brown justifications. He's not getting assists, hitting, or blocking.
I'm not giving I'm saying what I saw.
Yeah.
He handed off the puck to Donnell Nurse, who was on a hat trick, when he could have just shot and probably missed anyway. So what did it even matter, you know? I'm done with the Brown, like, oh, when will he score? Arguably never. I had someone yesterday when I was at the Crew game ask us about the map of Connor Brown and how close he is to Vermillion. I couldn't believe it. We're making the rounds, people.
Yep. So there you go. Your moment of the game for Douglas Mattress, douglas.ca/OilersNation to get your order in today. A couple more areas to hit on as we work through our recap of this hockey game. Let's get to our Sounds of the Oil for Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. The Snow Valley Aerial Park opens up May 31st. It's family fun all summer long. It's like 3 or 4 levels high. And you just like clip your way through it. I've been to it before. It's a lot of fun.
So this is which one, sorry?
Aerial Park.
So this is the one when you go across the bridge and it's right there.
I've
always seen it.
It looks fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'll give it a go when things
go. Maybe you and I will do some summer content.
That would be unbelievable. I do have a slight fear of heights. Will not look down.
Yeah, and like, so the way it works is you have like 2 clips, right? And the clips are, so like you clip yourself onto something and then you can unclip the other one and they're magnetized so that both can't be undone at the same time.
Interesting.
So that's how you can't fall because you're always clipped into one of them.
That makes sense. That's good safety.
Anyways, it is a lot of fun. Fun for all ages as well. Liam and I would have fun. Your kids would have a great time. One of the great parts about Edmonton, that's Snow Valley Aerial Park. And if you're coming in from out of town, you can stay at the Rainbow Valley Campground, rainbow-valley.com for more information on their over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right in the heart of Edmonton. Sounds of the Oil. Chris Knobloch after the game talking about Calvin Pickard said, quote, Picks played extremely well. He really earned that shutout, wink. And he said, not technically a shutout.
Is BS. They both get one?
No one gets one.
That is ridiculous.
I think if it's under 3 minutes, you're out of the net and no goal is still scored. Or if the other goalie doesn't face a shot, because Skinner didn't face a shot.
So here's a question.
If you stop every shot on net in a hockey game, that's a shutout.
So yesterday, when the Minnesota Wild pulled that goalie, does that also mean that goalie doesn't get a shutout?
No, because there was no other goalie that
replaced him. Yeah. Gotcha. Interesting. Crazy. Also very ballsy of that coach to do John Hines.
Yeah, I'll talk.
Go ahead. That. Sorry.
Knobloch on the cheer. He was when Pickard finishes media, he went into the locker room and there was apparently a loud eruption the guys. He said these guys really respect Calvin, just how hard he works. And he went out to talk about how galvanizing it can be for a team when one of the guys who isn't front and center comes through. He compared this shutout against Pittsburgh to Derek Ryan's shootout winner against the LA Kings as like a good uplifting moment and something that can kind of bring the team together, I think. I bit my tongue so hard.
I'll continue on the show. Yes, that is a very cool moment when somebody unexpected goes on to do something and someone unexpected in the sense of like Calvin Pickard wasn't ever supposed to play in the NHL for this team. He has replaced someone the Oilers paid a lot of money to come in and do something and he has done it quadruple as good as what Jack Campbell could ever do. Do we need to put you on the LTIR?
Yeah, you might. I might be out for the playoffs. Sorry, guys. It's Oilers Nation every day with Liam Horobin for the next few months. There we go. See you later. So there you go. Chris Knobloch also talking a little bit about what I said, where the game was a little bit too close for too long. And he was asked in the scrum, I think by John Shannon, were you feeling a bit of deja vu to the Buffalo game when it was staying 2-0 for that long? And he said, yeah, when are you going to get that third goal? It would eliminate any push a little bit later than I would have liked. So it would have been good to see the Oilers put the Penguins away earlier, but hey, 2 points and a 4-0 win. You can't complain about that at all. So those are your Sounds of the Oil presented by Snow Valley and the Rainbow Valley Campground. Snow Valley Aerial Park opening up March, April, May 31st. We still got a couple more months to go.
May 31st.
That's what the sheet says.
That'll be nice.
Snow is starting to melt though. It was very warm over the weekend.
I did not know there was that many days in May.
I was driving. Is there not?
No, there is.
We're good. I was driving with my window down yesterday. I went to Home Depot.
I did it on the way in. I was blasting Gotta Be Somebody by Nickelback came on the radio.
That's automatic window down music.
Window down the big hill here across the bridge, and just blasting it.
You'd be listening to the big program on your drive.
It was over.
Oh, well, there you go.
The back end of it. A couple of NFL signings. Josh Jacobs just signed in Green Bay.
Really?
God damn it.
That's interesting. Damn
it. Lions lost their offensive lineman, Cy Jackson. Not ideal, people.
Mm.
But we'll table that too.
All right. No, so there you go. That is our recap of the hockey game. Hey, look at us. We said that would take us 12 minutes. It took us 24.
Do we time? What? Well, the clock wasn't on. How was
it? Yeah, I know. Yeah. There you go. Let's get to a little deadline recap talk. Liam, okay. I have gone and I have picked three winners and three losers from the trade deadline period. This is brought to you by our friends over at Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. And it's been that way for more than 20 years. Check them out online, starmechanical.ca. They also offer 24/7 emergency service. My neighbor, Red, the Star Mechanical employee. Ron, if you know him really well. He told me he's a Montreal Canadiens fan. And yesterday he was yelling at me across the street about how Nathan McKinnon's better than Connor McDavid. And I said, Red, shut up. And I said, you're just an Oilers hater. And he said, well, you've been giving me so many shout outs on the show. I've started listening to your show now. So apparently he listens. But he is a noted Oilers
hater. Welcome, Red Rum.
What?
Red Rum.
Anyway, shout out to Star Mechanical. The reason I was bringing him up is on the weekend. Like Saturday or something. Mm-hmm. I see the Star Mechanical van going down the street. I'm like, God, even on a Saturday.
No
when duty
off.
Calls, Star Mechanical. They answer that call, Liam. That's the kind of quality you get. StarMechanical.ca.
The fourth emergency service. Police, firemen, paramedics.
My neighbor, Red.
Star Mechanical with Red Ron.
I don't know if he likes it or not. I always bring him up.
Well, you should have said that before. I just made him an emergency service for the city. God.
If anyone wants his personal phone number, it's available here on the bottom of the screen. Winners and losers from the deadline period. Should I start with the winner? Should we start with the positivity? I think we should.
Let's get the positives out because I already asked the chat.
Winner numero uno, the Vegas Golden Knights.
I mean, look.
How can they not be?
They got three very strong players without moving anything off their roster. Yep. LTIR and up. Mantha, Hanifin, and what was the other fella's name? Hurdle. Fantastic additions. There's no denying it. Kelly McCrimmon. Sometimes I wish you were our GM. I said this on ONR, I think. I remember sending this show. He's really brought that junior mentality to the NHL of like, I don't care about my picks. I will find a way to get them all back.
We'll figure it out later.
We'll figure it out.
It really is like the WHL, and McCrimmon is a Manitoba guy, Brandon. But the first round of the draft, every pick's been traded by the time you get to it.
They're gone. They're all gone. And Stuart Skinner, here's a fun fact. Stuart Skinner was traded. I think it was Lethbridge to Swift Current or one of those ways.
If he has Lethbridge because he won the championship with Swift.
Yes. And then 3 years later, that pick somehow ended up being Connor Bedard. Like picks just get thrown down the line out of anything.
And that's all. Lance says Gregor's not sold on Vegas. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how you could not be sold on Vegas. I'll be honest. Gregor Wednesday. Maybe we'll debate it.
I'm not totally sold on them being this absolute powerhouse that we're all going to say they are. I guess they did lose one guy, whatever, but they're really good. And they were really good before, but they also are now fourth in a Pacific division. They've got a long way to go still. And it's going to take some time for those three to get in, especially since Hurdle's still in the LTR. But like, how can you not say they're the biggest winner from deadline?
Yeah.
You know, that's the debate here. So
I guess, and again, I don't know what Gregor's argument is. I'm just believing Lance Kane when he says it, but that's something we do here. You know, if Mark Stone doesn't come back and if Alec Martinez is out longer than they expect, then it's kind of like, okay, you got your coverage or whatever. Losing Mark Stone's a big loss, but if Mark Stone comes back, you're going to run a top line that is Eichel, Barbashev, Marchessault. Very good. You're going to run a second line that would then be Stevenson, Hurdle, and Stone. You're going to run a third line then that is Mantha, Carlson, Dorofeev, and a fourth line that is Kolesar, Brendan Brisson, and Nicholas Roy. That is an unbelievable top 12.
I love Nicholas Roy.
Me too. Great fourth line.
Really good fourth line.
He's a good third line center.
Yeah, he's just very steady. It feels like a very reliable player. But yeah, like an elite team. I think the others can still take him down because the others would have the two best players in the series. Bring it on.
And you never know when Aiden Hill is going to turn back into a pumpkin.
You really don't, to be honest. And I mean, people can say the same about Skinner too, but Aiden Hill is. Come a long way. Give him credit.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you look at that blue line now too, right? Hanifin, Petrangelo, McNabb, Theodore, Hag, Whitecloud. If they don't get Martinez back, which I believe they will, but like, dude, they could go 11-7 and just be like, all right, we always have good defensemen on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. Or those blue lines, not too far off that too.
No, it is.
But like a top four. I mean, the bottom pairing's way better. Not way better. Like, it's close. But, like, Ekholm and Bouchard are just, like, Petrangelo's sick. Don't get me wrong.
Hanifin is very, very good.
Yeah, but Ekholm and Nurse are both really good, too.
Yeah, that's, yeah. But having Theodore on your second pair is, like,
it's good. But we have Vinny.
That blue line's unreal.
Yeah,
that
maybe I'm over it now, blue line, quite a bit. What else? Who else? Who's another winner for you?
The Winnipeg Jets staying in the West. I just think when you sit there and you have a year that's going as well as it is for the Winnipeg Jets, and you have a GM who is always criticized for sitting on his hands, who finally just says, you know what? Hellebuck, Scheifele, you guys committed to us. Here's your reward. Sean Monahan, exactly what they needed. A power play guy. Their power play stunk. Boom, you add him. You get Toffoli as well. Are they both rentals? Yeah. Would that bother me if I'm a Jets fan? No. Because you paid a first, second, and third and got two top six forwards to add into your mix. That's legit, man. This deal is going to help them so much. When you have Connor Hellebuck, all you need to do probably is score three goals in a playoff game, and you're going to win that playoff game. So go load up your offense and go for it. I love what Winnipeg did here.
Yeah, I did too, because you look at the other two teams are going to have to compete with coming out of the Central in Colorado and Dallas, and they're known for having great offenses, right? So you got to match that. And your goaltender will always be the best in that division. So yeah. I love the addition of Toffoli. The Monahan one, obviously, a little earlier in the season around All-Star break. Well, I had the All-Star break. And people question the first round pick going, but it's like, if that's what you need to add, then what does it matter? Another top six is really good. The Winnipeg Jets is that team who have a lot of players I would love to see on the Oilers one day.
You guys are making a lot of really good comments in the chat, and I'll get to them in a bit.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
Are the Winnipeg Jets not the LA Kings?
Just not the LA Kings. What?
From like previous years, like the last couple of years, it's like, yeah, they have all these guys, but they don't have like the game breaking forward.
So my argument against the comparison will be game breaking goalie.
That's obviously the big difference, but Korpisalo, I know I'm not comparing Korpisalo and Hellebuck by any means, but Korpisalo was really, really good last season, and it still wasn't enough for them to get past the Oilers. LA's
blue line was probably
better.
A little deeper, maybe.
Yeah, like Morrissey, DeMello, Dylan, Pionk.
Boy, that's
Sandberg and Miller.
You know what? But you listed those six guys. They're all pricks, man.
Oh, they are dickheads to play against. I would hate it. And they might be able to get under like a Nathan McKinnon. You know,
yeah, they might be able to. All right. My third winner before we get to, well, the losers, and then we'll dig into the chat. My third winner is the Carolina Hurricanes. You gave up. Frank said on the DFL rundown last night that the people he talked to said they gave up like the 7th, 9th, and 10th best prospects in their system.
Yeah.
And I want to steal something from Frank because I think it's a great point. When Pittsburgh announces this trade, they keep calling it a conditional first round pick. It is not a conditional first round pick.
No. What is it?
It is a second round pick that becomes a first round pick if Carolina makes the cup final or wins the cup or whatever. That's not a first round pick.
So is it a conditional second round
pick? It's a conditional second round pick. And like, again, let's even just unpack that a little bit. The fact you had the best rental on the market in Jake Guentzel, and one, you didn't get Pittsburgh's best prospect from them. Massive mistake.
They didn't get any, like Cruz Lucius is good, but
fine. They didn't get a top five prospect in their organization.
So Cruz Lucius, I went back and looked at this actually. Steven Ellis had him ranked number 6 coming into the season on the Carolina Hurricanes prospect list. So there you go.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And it's just crazy. You couldn't get one. You couldn't be like, hey, like, we don't want three prospects. We actually just want one of your top three prospects. We'll also take Bunting and the picks, whatever, stay the same. I think fans would have been way happy with this. So you have a guy coming in who's going to be a stud. Whoever the Morrow fella, I think, is at North Dakota.
Yeah. Or Blake is another guy. Yeah, I heard about. Like,
there's a ton. Well, they have five other guys.
Insane. And so, yeah, it is a second round pick that becomes a first round pick if Carolina makes the cup final. So at best, you are getting the 31st or 32nd overall pick, and you traded Gensel to the only team we had heard a hint of a rumor about him being open to signing an extension to. Yeah. How did you lose this trade so bad? But
yeah,
I'll talk about Pittsburgh in a bit. Carolina's perspective, the gamble on Kuznetsov. Listen, he's had a lot of wake up calls. So to sit there and just say, he needed a wake up call and he's good to go. There was the video in the hotel room. There's the leave from the Capitals earlier this year, asking for a trade last year, not getting it. Like, I'm not 100% convinced Kuznetsov's just going to flip the switch, but a fresh start for guys like that, I understand how it could help clear your head a little bit. And that's an organization where if you're going to be putting up shit and causing problems, they have no problems and you can sit right over there.
Yeah.
And he's a proven playoff guy and he only cost you a third. And you could potentially have him for a year and a half. I love what Carolina did. I think they're the beast in the East.
The beast of the East. I think Florida still takes the crown for me. Carolina's goaltending is the iffy spot. Like, you don't know what Freddie Anderson's going to be, right? You might get injured again.
I know, but he looked so good last night. And Kachetkov can get hot. I know.
Yeah, I still have question marks. That blue line is obviously really good. They're a great team. Don't get me wrong. I love the third line of having Jordan Staal and Seth Jarvis on there, like Martinuk, Nosen, whatever his name is, right? Like,
they play so hard, man.
Yeah,
like Rod gets the most solid out of them.
Team. We'll see. Like, they've just become that team. It's like, I don't know. I don't have any expectations for them anymore. Are they ever going to make it to a final? You know, they're the Carolina Hurricanes. They're the definition of mid in the playoffs.
But Gensel's a proven game breaker.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to my losers for the trade deadline period. Did you have winners or you just want to keep going back and forth? Anyone I missed, do you think?
No, not really. I think that's a fair top three for winners. Would there be anybody else? I thought Tampa Bay did a good job adding Dumba.
Considering what they could do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was fine. No, I think that's probably reasonable.
Losers.
Can I give a weird winner?
Okay.
I think Philly was somewhat winners in the sense of, I know they kind of like played both sides, but they got some value for Sean Walker from a guy who they acquired in a cap dump. And then they didn't have to sign that ridiculous deal. And then they re-signed Nick Seeler. Like, we'll see how well that deal ages, but I kind of liked what they were able to do around the deadline. It's just kind of a weird one, you know, but they did fine.
All right. First on my list of losers. You ready for this? The Edmonton Oilers former defenseman Tyson Berry.
Oh, good God. Tease.
Boom. Did I get you?
You got me. I thought we were going to go to war again.
Oh, man. I'm really excited to see if someone just started going right in the chat as I said.
I was ready to type.
Yeah, you were. Tyson Berry having to now stay in Nashville and keep getting healthy scratch sucks. The Predators are also kind of losers for not finding a way to get him off the books.
Yeah.
Keep half, get him somewhere, swap him for an expensive forward on an expiring deal. Like, how do you not get out of there?
Yeah, I fully expected him to move, especially when we saw like Jason Zucker and Matt Dumba go for just like fifth and sixth, whatever it was. Like, you're not even going to try and get like a fourth round pick for Tyson Berry and get something back because he's not re-signing.
Like, there are contending teams out there who have a surplus at forward and everyone's always looking to add a D-man. You could have found a team whose power play sucks somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe in the mix, like the Islanders. You can go get one of those veteran forwards from the Islanders who's, again, maybe on an expiring deal, maybe not, and say, hey, here's Tyson Berry. We need the forward help. Give us a piece. I know they don't really have forwards, I guess.
Have his phone on.
No, Lou forgot it was deadline day for sure. They didn't make a single move. That was weird.
I would hate to be an Islanders fan so much. Like, they're just the one team. You kind of forget they're part of the 32.
Yeah. Because they don't do anything.
They don't do anything. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we just acquired Bo Horvat, but we're actually going to miss the playoffs.
And then go into the summer and be like, we're going to run it back. This team was, they're close. Yeah. And but that shit, they've won 5 or 6 in a row now.
I know.
And they're right back in the playoff spot.
It's just
crazy.
Tyson Murray's a good one. Just should have been moved. Nashville, I said it before the deadline. I wasn't surprised that they didn't sell. I was surprised they didn't move on from Tyson Berry.
Yep.
What else you got?
The Toronto Maple Leafs. I know people are like, do the Leafs maybe not believe in themselves as much as they have in years past? Is this like a kind of hold your cards close to the chest year?
Yeah.
Don't spend too much and maybe just roll the dice. I think that is a massive mistake. I think them not going out and finding a way somehow, some way to get a better defenseman than they did is an error. I like Joel Edmondson. I don't like a third and a fifth for Joel Edmondson. I like Ilya Labushkin. I don't like a third round pick for Ilya Labushkin. I think when you look at what other prices were around the league, you could have done better than this. And they have known since what, November, that they have Klingberg's LTIR money to spend. And they just didn't do anything good with it.
Yeah. Like, they added depth to that blue line and a little bit of more grit, I guess. And when you're going up against teams like Florida and Boston in that division, and that'll help. There's no doubt about that, having guys like Edmondson and Labushkin, but they're not needle movers, are they? Especially with how their summer went with, like, I know they haven't all worked out, but like signing Domi, Bertuzzi, like
Klingberg.
Yeah, Klingberg. And it's just like, you know, I thought there might be a few more sparks. Like this guy, why is Kyle asked in the chat before if there's going to be, has an NCAA free agent pool. This guy's on the list. Cade Weber.
Yeah.
He's like 6'7" defenseman. I mean, how much of an impact is he going to have on the team this year? Probably little, but it's like, this was a sneaky good ad for down the road, but they don't need to worry about down the road. They need to worry about right now. Like they could have, never mind. I'll take that point back.
I just feel like they should have added an impact D-man.
I agree.
They've known for months that they need one. They've known for months they have the LTIR pool.
Did it matter what side that was on, would it be?
No, I just think they need a guy.
Because the right-handed guy was what they were looking for the most, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did just need a guy.
But like very similar to
They should have probably gone and got Sean Walker.
Yeah, I think he would have been good there.
Good,
but very similar to Ken Holland. Like, I know the right side of the market wasn't great, but like you look at Vegas, they just went and found a dude. No one knew Hurdle was available at all. Vegas went and found that trade. So high-end and aggressive teams do, man. They just go find a deal that maybe you didn't even think is out there.
Do high-end aggressive teams do that, or do the Vegas Golden Knights do that and nobody else?
Carolina went and did it to an extent. Like, Kuznetsov clears waivers. Everyone's sitting there being like, Washington's just going to buy him out in the summer. Carolina goes, no, we'll go find him. Well, Carolina does it in a different way where they just, if you're good, you're good. They'll bring in Tony D'Angelo. Don't care about his past. They'll bring in Brandon Lemieux. Don't care about his past. They just signed Max Comtois.
They re-signed Lemieux.
Right? Like, if you're a good enough player, they'll just go get you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Vegas doesn't care about the cost, doesn't care about the future. If they want you, they'll go get you. If you're not available, they'll make you available.
Yeah, I think that was a very good point.
Yeah.
We'll see if it changes the NHL.
All right. Third loser I got is the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
Easy one for me.
How can you not?
You didn't get a good prospect or a good pick for Jake Guentzel.
Yeah.
And then you held on to Riley Smith, even though you have a retained salary spot and his value's probably never going to be higher. Like you can't tell me you couldn't have gotten a second round pick for Riley Smith if you kept 50% or a prospect from somewhere. Someone would have given you something for that guy.
Yeah.
And if it got to a point in deadline day where whatever, you couldn't get that, then you overplayed your hand and you fucked it up.
Yeah.
Sorry for cussing.
I think is what kind of happened, to be honest. They may have screwed it up there.
Yeah.
Just a really bad deadline from them. Just, I don't know. I don't even like the moves were limited. It was basically like move Riley Smith and get some value for Guentzel. Like Guentzel was a number one player on the board and you didn't even get a first round pick. Even Calgary with Hanifin, like that wasn't perfect by any means. Well, like it was good trade.
But
like,
they got a first and they got the prospect that they wanted. Someone who's a little bit higher up in Vegas' system.
26 years old.
Yeah, I guess.
I just think this deadline, and I'm writing about this today. I think this is maybe a good way to cap all this off. Things I learned from the trade deadline, Tyler. Here's the three things. Number one, top prospects never, ever, ever get traded. Never. I only looked the past 2 years, but you look at the Timo Meier trade.
Yep.
So that was a huge one last year, and it was a ton of pieces that went back and forth. So who did they trade? You know how to say his name.
Shakir Munkhamedulin.
Okay.
He was 26th overall.
He was a third best defensive prospect. They had Simon Nemec and they had Luke Hughes.
Okay, but I would just say
he's very good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they never, like, the only reason he was traded is because they had guys ahead of him. He was number three.
But I think the argument there would be like them trading Munkhamedulin is like the Oilers trading Borgo.
Why? It's like the Oilers trading Reed Schaefer.
Yeah, sure. Or that.
And ahead of him, they have Borgo, Lavoie, Holloway. Like these teams have almost no interest in moving any of their top guys. Even the only team that is Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's very interesting. The other thing is value of players. Nick Dowd was traded for a first multiple times before the deadline happened.
Yeah.
And he never got moved.
Never got moved.
Because for some reason, the teams finally realized that a fourth line centerman isn't worth a first round pick. And then we saw Dumba and Zucker go for basically nothing. The Noah Hanifin one, we all thought he was going to get moved for two first round picks. Jake Guentzel, two first round picks. Erik Karlsson's a great example. Multiple firsts. It's just like, I think this is something we've got to think about when we lead up to next year deadline or the draft even too. Is like, draft is maybe a little bit different. I think value does get a little bit higher there, but towards the deadline, it's like, guys don't want to move anything.
I also think it's an interesting little bit of insight into how news gets out there. Like if you're Kyle Dubas and you're talking to your whatever, you're someone in the Penguins organization who speaks to insiders and all that, you're obviously going to put out there that you're looking for multiple A+ assets.
100%.
Right? Like, I feel like that's another thing is like, when you see information that does get put out there into the hockey world, why is this information getting out and who benefits from it being out there? Because take the Hurdle deal, for example. That absolutely came out of nowhere, man. And there's talk or rumblings. They started talking back in January and kept it under wraps.
Really?
And Hurdle apparently had the last 3 days before the deadline to decide if he wanted to do it. And no one heard a peep. Why? Because there's no motivation on either side to let that leak out. Right.
Interesting. That's a good point. Like the only way insiders find out stuff is if someone tells them.
Yeah.
They don't just. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat because there was a handful of things I wanted to hit on here with what you're all saying over in the YouTube. Someone earlier on was like, this is an Oilers show and all you ever do is talk about how good the Vegas Golden Knights are. Like, what the hell? Why are you doing this? They're living rent free in your head. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Did someone say that?
Well, someone didn't add the blah, blah, blahs. I just know there was two or three comments being like, why are you so obsessed with the Golden Knights? I'm obsessed with them because they're really damn good. And the Oilers probably have to go through them in round one this year.
Well, they're relevant to the Oilers.
Directly.
We talk about the Kings a lot too. And we talk about Vancouver quite often. Demko's out apparently for 2 weeks, got into the Charm Diamond Center chat.
Oh, that too. Everyone was like, why aren't you talking about the Demko news? Can I be honest? The Demko news is largely irrelevant to me at this point. It's a 2 week, 3 week injury. He's going to rest for the playoffs now. This is a blessing in disguise for Vancouver. And Casey DeSmith has been largely okay.
Yeah. The Oilers might not want to win the division now either.
Well, you know? I still think Vegas is going to find a way to pass the Kings. So I would say, yes, go win the division. Yeah, you'd rather have home ice the whole way.
Just go play and win. You're going to have to face good teams eventually.
So I guess the Demko news is kind of relevant, to be fair, because the Oilers are chasing them. But the reason I talk about the Golden Knights so much is because I'm deeply concerned about the Oilers' chances of beating them in a best of seven series. Simple as that.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And also, like, it's relevant news. Today is our post-deadline show.
Yeah.
And they won the deadline. We got to talk about them. They had a big win yesterday against the Detroit Red Wings, too. But I still think the Oilers can take down any team. I really do. I think they're strong. I think that second line showed over the weekend what they're capable of. What do we got?
I like it. This is always such a fascinating narrative to me. Dubas watched Moneyball too many times, but for some reason never saw the ending when the A's lost. Okay, just because Kyle Dubas wears his little glasses does not mean he's an analytics guy.
Is he not? I thought he was a big analytics guy. He wears glasses.
Okay. What happened in Moneyball? Have you seen the movie?
I love that movie. Yes. Jonah Hill comes in and saves the day, but he never gets the credit he deserves.
Okay. But all the big expensive players leave.
Yeah.
And they need to build a team on the margins with cheap ineffective players.
That is true.
What does Kyle Dubas do? He pays his stars an absurd amount of money and then can't find good players around the edges. The A's problem is that they were fundamentally a bad baseball team that just got on base a bunch of times. That's like how the movie ends. How do Kyle Dubas's teams fail? Because he can't find pieces lower on the depth chart. The dude gave Noel Acciari a 3-year contract and a no trade clause. He's not an analytics guy. Analytics would have told you that was a very stupid thing to do.
Just for fun, if you had to pick one NHL team that's close to the Moneyball A's.
The Coyotes?
Would it be Carolina?
Yeah, it's probably Carolina, actually. Yeah, Eric Tulsky's a wicked smart dude.
Yeah, like they have stars, of course, but they don't have the superstars and they have a very good supporting cast. I think that's pretty close. That'd be my
Yeah, suggestion. It probably is Carolina. Yeah. And they're a damn good team because of it. They haven't gotten over the hump, kind of similar to the Oakland A's of that era because they can't find a superstar, right?
Yeah, well.
You can't keep a superstar. I mean, they've never had them. Yeah. Barry should have been moved back to Toronto from Wise Kyle. Toronto should have been all over Barry at 50% retained.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I think Morgan Riley's not a good power play quarterback. Barry on that power play would have been really good.
I think the NHL really lacks in that sometimes of being a bit cutthroat.
Yeah.
You're being like, hey, Morgan Riley, I know we pay you $9 million, whatever it is, maybe it's a little less. But Tyson Barry is a better power play quarterback than you.
You focus on being good at 5-on-5.
Yeah. But you're also our best defenseman, so we'll keep you there.
McDowell's Turtles locked in for what, 6 or 7 more years? No thanks. San Jose is a loser of this deadline. You have no more retained money spots now for 2 more seasons. You got 2 firsts, basically. You got the prospect who was taken in the first round, and then you got another first round pick that's what, at best, going to be 26th? And you had to give up 2/3.
The 2/3 is the weirdest part of this deal.
How did Vegas convince them to do that?
I don't know. So this is year 2 of
Hurdle's extension.
The San Jose rebuild.
Yeah, they've been out of the playoffs now for 4 years.
This is Mike Greer's second year, right? So that's how I'm going to count it.
Yep.
I don't think it's as bad as it's been made to seem. I don't think it's great by any means. And I think giving up the 2/3 is really crazy. And
keeping money for 6 years.
No, I get that. And that's not great by any means. But like, you look through. And it's like, okay, so who do they need to retain salary on next? Like, who would it be? Vlasic, probably, right?
But no, Vlasic, even if he kept 50%, no one's touching him. He's going
to
retire.
But I'm just saying, like, if they were to keep someone, it'd be someone like that. I just don't think it's that bad. Brent Burns is going to be off the Bucks a year after. Then you have your 2 salary retention there, and it's less than $3 million. You're not going to be good for a long, long time. You need to get as many draft picks in that are higher up in the standings. I just think it could have. I think this will be good. I think this will ultimately be good for them. They have 2 first round picks this year, 2 first round picks next year, 2 second round picks this year. I think this is a little bit better. It's not perfect by any means, but to get it off your Bucks, because you know he's not going to be good and you're going to get worse from it. you're increasing your chances to go and get Macklin Celebrini this year.
Or to get Gavin McKenna in 2 years or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
the side of it I'm looking at, is they do not want to be good. So why do they care what their money looks like for the next 6 years?
But I'll throw you this. You've now moved Hurdle.
Yep.
And you've moved Burns and you moved Carlson. You kept such a marginal amount of money on each that it didn't juice up the return you got. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like a, you know, you can't be half pregnant kind of deal. And it's just like, if you would have just, I know this is maybe not a PC term, if you would have just nutted up and kept more than 2.72 of Brent Burns, probably could have gotten a bit more out of Carolina. If you would have done the same with Carlson, could have gotten a little bit more. If you would have waited till the summer for Hurdle and been willing to keep more, you would have had teams lining up for that guy.
Yeah, and that's probably fair as well.
I just think they've done this weird, keeping a bit.
That's fair. Maybe there shouldn't be so much middle ground with them. Just like pick one side or the other.
That's what I mean. That's where I think Sharks fans can be frustrated.
Yeah. I just think Gray came in and had all these huge contracts that were left behind from this successful San Jose era where they went to the Stanley Cup Finals once. Mm-hmm. And he's done a good job of getting rid of some of them.
He hasn't gotten enough in return. Burns is still a good player. Carlson had value.
But they don't want to be good.
I know they don't want to be good, but that doesn't mean you can't get better future assets.
Can there be a four-team trade?
Yeah, why not?
I wonder if we could see that with something here. Like, not anytime soon, but like, hey, it's like Logan Couture comes back from his injury next season, and they're like, we need to get this guy's salary down. We're going to trade him to Team A and then Team B, and then B is going to trade him to C, and then he'll land at D to get the... You know what I mean?
But who's going to sign up to do that?
I don't know. Maybe
Logan Couture's not that good anymore, where another team would be willing to pay that.
Thomas Hurdle was going to get traded.
Yeah, I know. But he's still really good. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I don't think he's as bad. I wouldn't call them a winner or a loser. They're just kind of like, they did.
Irrelevant.
They just made a move and they're still terrible. Yeah.
Dangerous Weight, I think, nails exactly what I was saying or what I wanted to say. Retained spots are worth more than the money you keep. So keeping that little, so little makes no sense. It's like when the Oilers got Nashville to keep 5%.
4%.
4%. 250K. Why not? If you're Nashville at that point, just be like, we want this and we're going to keep 40% of it, right? Like, I mean, and if Edmonton's not willing to pay whatever, it's the art of the deal. But Carson says that Hurdle contract may be an albatross 2 to 3 years from now. Sure.
Do you remember when they
signed? But it's not as bad because it's only 6.75 for Vegas. It's not 8.
He was number one on Frank's list 3 years ago.
Yep. And they signed for 8 years.
Signed for 8 years. And I remember every single person was like, what are they doing? And now they're out of it. That's Vegas' problem to trade for future considerations in 3 months.
And just quickly on the idea of Hurdle being an albatross in a couple of years and, you know, being something Vegas won't want to have. Just keep in mind, he's maybe an albatross at 6 or at 8. I get that.
What is it now? 6-something?
6.75.
It's not that bad. It's actually really
good. If you're going to say 3 years from now, he's an albatross, think of what the cap will be. If the cap's up 14 million in 3 years, 15 million, there are going to be a lot of middle six wingers making that kind of money.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. It won't be as bad as it seems.
I agree. All right. Let's move along to our Sherwood Ford Giant question of the day, brought to you by Sherwood Ford the Giant. Check them out online, sherwoodford.ca. Another Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show coming this Wednesday as the Oilers return home. How would you split up the goaltending this week, Liam?
I'd play Skinner tomorrow. I'd play Skinner both games. Do you have the schedule, Aaron? You could rip that up quickly. I would play Skinner both games, and I think you have Montreal or something like that, right? Then I would play
Pickard against the Habs. And then two more for Skinner, then Pickard against the Sens, then two more for Skinner, Pickard against the Ducks. All right, you got me. I'm in.
There you go.
We're good. Okay.
And like, people are going to argue in the chat.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2. That makes sense.
People are going to argue you need to rest Skinner, all this stuff. At the end of the day, if Calvin Pickard comes in and loses to Washington on Wednesday, we're all going to be upset about
it. I'll care more about resting Skinner in the final 3 weeks of the regular season, not in the final 8 weeks or whatever we're still at.
You got to keep increasing that gap between Vegas and LA.
Yep.
I think it's simple.
Okay. So we're good. We're on the same page.
All good.
Shout out to Sherwood Ford the Giant. The menu for DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $25 or more. I was having a drink or two to relax on Friday. Ended up having 3 or 4 or 5. And ended up DoorDashing Taco Bell at 1 in the morning.
Wow.
Not a bad choice at all. Not a bad choice at all. Shout out to DoorDash. Use that promo code if it's your first time ordering. Get yourself 25% off, zero delivery fees. New episode of Real Life dropping today. Chalmers is in. So maybe we'll get... He's Chalm in today. So giddy up. Wanye, BM, the whole crew is going to be there. And a new episode of the DFO Rundown. It was myself, Gregor, and Frank. I stayed on for the whole episode. Can you believe that?
That is wild.
They were making me work hard yesterday. We did 75 minutes, went through basically every deadline scenario. I just peppered them with buy or sell, fill in the blank questions for the whole 75 minutes. So it's a good episode. You can head to the Daily Faceoff YouTube to give that a watch soon. Later today.
Soon. I'm waiting for the email.
Mm-hmm. Let's wrap up the show with the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Game. $3.49 for six nuggets is the deal. You can order today online or on the Wendy's app. Also, by downloading that app, I think you still get 150 bonus rewards points. Liam, new week starts now. Here are your options tonight as we try to go perfect and win some delicious prizes courtesy of our friends over at Wendy's. I am going with a Nick Ehlers point.
Yeah, I was looking at that one. I was even thinking cheeky with a Tyler Toffoli goal. But you need to go easy on day one. You know, it's not about being the competition.
I like the Ehlers. Just a point. Goal, assist, don't matter. If it was assist, I wouldn't do it. But goal or assist, yeah, I'll take the point.
I'm assuming that LA New York game is in LA.
Yeah.
I'll go Ehlers too. I'm with you.
All right. We're riding with Nick Ehlers, dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Go play. You have a chance to win some prizes. Let's wrap up. You seen the NFL news?
Yep. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta.
And
Saquon Barkley to Philly, which is
crazy. In division.
Ruthless. Absolutely ruthless. But I need to tell people something. So we had a meeting this morning, not Tyler and I, but with our Nation Gear team. Do you have Nation ideas? That's something that you think would be cool, like a little slogan or something like that that you like?
For a shirt.
For a shirt. Let us know. Have a think about it. I don't want any DMs. I want you all to go home. Think about it. Tomorrow at noon, let us know if you have any ideas and we'll write them down, do some brainstorming, see if we like any of them.
All right.
I think that's good.
We might be releasing an Owen Everyday shirt soon.
We may be doing that. So you'll be able to grab those. I, just so everyone knows, the shirt I suggested is with Vinny Wee Winnie. I think that might be fun.
What if we did the, yeah, with them doing their celebration? I don't know if we can do that.
I don't know. But if you just, you know, you get the writing on it, something like that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
All right. There you go. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. New episode of Real Life coming your way soon. And tomorrow, I don't know what we're doing tomorrow, if I'm being totally honest with you, but we'll have some fun. Right?
Yeah. People are asking, what can we sign up? Where can they suggest it? Just come in the chat.
Yeah. Come in the chat tomorrow with some ideas and we'll go through a few of them. There's a fun idea.
Yeah. Oh, my friend from England is in the chat right now.
Hey, what's up, man?
Jack Leonard.
Hello, Jack. All right. There you go. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Yeah, we're back tomorrow, noon Mountain Time. Chat with you then.